Good morning. We are glad you're here today. Thank you for being here. We pray that today will be a good day for you. It is the Lord's Day, and for that we are very grateful for the hope that we have in Christ, and the hope that we have not just today, but the hope that we have beyond this life, and we call it eternal life. This week, as I was preparing to preach, I had picked out a text, Revelation chapter 22 at verse 14, and it's somewhat fitting that that's the text for this week. I, like many of you, awakened yesterday to the sad news that one of our friends, one of our family members, had passed from this life, Barry Ray. For the last 24 hours or so, it's been very difficult for me to wrap my mind around that fact. Bear was a friend of mine. He was a friend of yours. I don't know anybody that didn't count him as a friend. In February, when we lost Brother Phil's sweet wife, we were saddened that she was taken from us. In Revelation chapter 22, John said, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city." I want to begin today by maybe sharing an incident that happened to me many years ago when I was just a young fella. When I was 20, I had a very close friend of mine that tragically lost his life. And I awakened, as I did yesterday, on a Saturday morning, to learn that my friend, my buddy, had tragically died. I remember going to the funeral home that Monday. The service was held outside underneath a tent. It was November. It was raining and cold and dreary. And there were two things that really just resonated with me. I remember at the graveside service, my buddy's father, his dad, sat in a chair and literally cried his eyes out. I can still hear him crying in my mind today. Never forget it. My buddy and I, we worked at Coca-Cola, and we loaded trucks. We're just college guys, and we were all the same age for the most part, and so each and every day when we got together, it was always loud, boisterous, a lot of talking and joking. Well, that afternoon, we had to load trucks. My buddy was a forklift driver, as was I at that time. We loaded the wrap trucks. The thing that really stands out in my mind, I thought about it this morning, first time I've thought about it in a long time. But I remember that afternoon after the funeral service, as we loaded those trucks, you could have heard a pin drop in that warehouse. Not a sound other than the forklifts and the trucks coming in and out. No talking, no joking, no laughing, nothing. Dead silence. I know that there's somewhat of a silence among us today, and that's to be understood. You know, when death occurs, it's never easy, particularly when it's someone who is what I consider to be young. And yet we understand the brevity of life. And so yesterday, after having received that terrible news, I thought about the lesson text today. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. And here's what I thought. This is why we do what we do, because we want to go to heaven. Barry Ray was here every Sunday. Wednesday night, he and I, we laughed and joked together this past week at VBS. And so, it's true. We hurt today. But as Paul said, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We have hope. That hope is rooted and grounded in Jesus, the Son of God. That's why we're here today. That's why we do what we do. Because ultimately, we want to be in the presence of God one day. Let me just share with you four things that really emerge out of our text today. Number one, first and foremost, there is the happiness that we enjoy when we obey God. When John said, "Blessed are those who do His commandments," the word blessed in that text, some folks would translate that, happy are those who do His commandments. And I understand that happiness, the root of that term, carries with it the idea of chance. But our happiness is grounded in the provisions and favor that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Strong in his dictionary suggests that it is to be in an enviable position. Why would that be? Because we're in Christ. We're special. You remember when John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." I mentioned this in Bible class today. Look, we are called the children of God, but more importantly, we are the children of God. We are God's holy nation of people. Yes, we are pilgrims and sojourners. We're just passing through. We're not putting our anchor down here in a permanent way, but we're just passing through. As Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven. The ancient Greeks, they called the island of Cyprus, which was off the coast of Antioch of Syria to the west. They called that small island the Happy Isle. And the reason was because they said it was such a lush and beautiful tropical paradise, so to speak, that once you got to Cyprus, you never wanted to leave. So really, if that's the picture that I have of us in Christ, we have, as one writer said, we have this inward joy that is untouchable, it is unassailable. No one can take it from us. You remember Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have joy, and that your joy may be full." In chapter 15, Jesus would say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, but not as the world gives do I give to you." He said, "Do not be afraid. Neither let your heart be troubled." Jesus would say in John chapter 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that my peace may remain in you." He said, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So as a child of God, we live in a state of blessedness. We are blessed beyond measure. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, you remember he said that every spiritual blessing resides in one place. That's in Christ. And so to understand that in Christ, we have all the many blessings and riches that we need. When we obey the gospel of Christ, we are delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's in that sphere that Paul said we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So number one, there is happiness associated with obeying God. Go back and read both the Old and New Testaments. And you'll see that those who obeyed God in many respects enjoyed an enviable life. Why? Because they were blessed. Now there's a second thought here. Number one, the happiness associated with obeying God. But number two, the honor of obeying God. Did you know it is the right thing to do to obey God? He's our creator. Since God is the creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the human family, it would only stand to reason that He has the right to legislate how we live. When you turn to the book of Genesis, following the creation of Adam and Eve, immediately you are introduced to the importance of obeying God. The blessings that come from obeying God and the hardships, consequences, we might say catastrophic consequences that occur when we fail to obey God. So obedience brings a measure of honor to our lives. As a young person, the reason why we obey our parents is because it's the right thing to do. The reason why we try to be a good employee, the reason why we don't steal and pilfer and extort, is because, number one, it wouldn't be right, and we're trying to do the right thing. As a parent, we rear our children in the Lord. We point them in the direction of the Lord. Why do we do that? Because it's the right thing to do. Paul said, parents, fathers, rear your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's right. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, you remember God's people were about to go into the land of Canaan, that land flowing with milk and honey. One generation had died in the wilderness, and so they're about to embark upon this promised land. And God said through Moses in the long ago that they were to do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. That's our goal today. Are we perfect? No. But in Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. In Christ Jesus, His blood is constantly at work in our lives. And so we are blessed people. When I think about the honor of being a child of God, to understand that I belong to the Lord, that I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, obeying God, it's the right thing to do. Remember, Jesus asked the question on one occasion, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The reason we do what the Lord wants us to do is because He's our King. We're serving Him. There's a third, I think, important point that comes from this text. When John said, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Go back and look at Genesis chapter 3. What did you have following the transgression of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? They were expelled from the garden, weren't they? Paradise lost, as we say. Not only did death invade the human family, and as a result of death, all of the heartache and sickness and sorrow that we face today, it all goes back to one source. If you want to hold somebody responsible for the plight that we face in this life today, it's the devil. He's the cause of all of this mess. But you remember Moses said that the first couple, they were driven from the garden lest they put forth their hand and have access to the tree of life. So you have paradise lost, no more access to the tree of life, and yet in Revelation chapter 22, the figure is that we have right to the tree of life. So what that tells me is there is hope to all who obey God. Now let me just say this. When we talk about living the Christian life, this is not just some fabled hope so, think so, hope it all works out. Hope we one day meet on the other. No, not at all. No, I'm telling all of us today that our hope is grounded in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul said to Titus that we, that is God's people, we live in hope of life eternal, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Won't you listen to what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. John said, this is the promise that he has promised us. What's that promise, John? Eternal life. You mean to tell me that in a world that is plagued with sickness and sadness and sorrow and death, in a world that is daily saying goodbye to people that are loved and well known, do you mean to tell me that as a child of God, I can live in hope? Yes. We have hope. That's why we do what we do. Because of our hope. Our hope is grounded in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we ask the question, where would we be without the Lord? You know, life can at best be tough. There are things that occur in life that can leave us bitter and disenchanted, can bring about despondency and despair. And yet that silver lining that is constantly shining through is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. When the Apostle Paul, when he came to the end of his life, you remember in writing to Timothy, and Timothy was his son in the faith, a confidant. Paul had mentored him. And Paul is about to leave this world. And though Paul was about to leave this world, he told Timothy, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep preaching and teaching the word. Now you just imagine trying to fill the shoes of a Paul. I don't know that those shoes can be filled. But Paul said they could. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to keep preaching and teaching the truth. I want you to do the work of an evangelist. Paul realized that his life was coming to a close. He said, I'm already being offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Death was for him imminent. You just think for a moment about the certainty of death that we all face. Now it may be that we live another 20, 30, 40 years. Might be that for some who are here today, you'll live another 60, 70, 80 years. But we won't leave this world alive unless Jesus comes. So we're going to face the throes of death. But Paul said, look, I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I have kept the faith. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not to me only, but to all who've loved his appearing. There were no hope-sos, think-sos, maybe-sos, not at all. Confident. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he wrote to the church at Corinth. He talked about how the outward man is perishing, the inward man, he said, is being renewed day by day. He said, look, we're not taking an approach to life that is just transitory in nature. He said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Remember, it was said of the ancient patriarchs in days gone by that they looked for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker is God. So Paul's saying, look, I'm not looking at life based upon what I see, but rather I'm looking at life through eternal lens. So if you make the transition to chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, we know that if this earthly tent, this body be destroyed, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In that same text, Paul would say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we leave this world, we leave this world in hope, and we are ushered into the very presence of God. Can I understand that? Probably not. But that's what the Bible teaches. There is a fourth and final thought. Number one, the happiness associated with obeying God. Number two, the honor of obeying God. Number three, the hope that we have in obeying God. And number four, the home that we have because we've obeyed God. John said, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now listen to him. And enter through the gates into the city. I haven't been to that city yet. I haven't stood at the gates of that city. But I trust that one day I will stand at the gates of that city. And I'll not just stand there. I will walk through those gates into that eternal home. As will you. For those of us who've tried to live the Christian life, look, this is not what life's all about here. It's about serving God, living for God, and one day going home to be with God. You remember Solomon said that when death occurs, the body returns to the dust from whence it was taken. The Spirit to God who gave it. God's the Father of our spirit. And to one day be in the very presence of God forevermore. Does it hurt to say goodbye to somebody that we love? Yes, it does. It literally rips our hearts out when we say goodbye to people that we've known and loved and appreciated through the years. But you know, when we die in Christ, that's not the end of the story. Paul Harvey used to say the rest of the story. The rest of the story is when we leave this world, we go home to be with God. Peter said, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. He said, it fades not away, and he said, it is reserved in heaven for you. You ever known somebody that upon the death of a loved one received a large sum of money? Ever known anybody like that? They received a large inheritance? Let me tell you what, I don't care if somebody left you $1 billion. That pales in comparison to the hope that we have of heaven one day. To be with the Lord forevermore, nothing, absolutely nothing is worth missing out on heaven. John in the Revelation in chapter 21, when he talked about the new heavens and the new earth, you remember he said, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Note that, every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more pain or sorrow or crying. John said, for these former things have passed away. I look forward to the day when I never have to do another funeral. I look forward to the day when I never have to say goodbye to somebody that I have loved. I've got some precious cargo on the other side, and I'm looking forward to being reunited with them one day. Many of us, we've lost people that we've loved. Some young, some middle-aged, some much older. But when we stand at the side of an open grave, for a child of God, we need to remember what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1. When he said, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And Jesus said, I have the keys of death and Hades. All those cemeteries that we see scattered around the world, one day the dead will be raised. That body will be reunited with that soul, or spirit. And as the Apostle Paul said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. We thank you for the hope of heaven. And Father, we understand the magnitude of sin and what it's done to the human family, that we feel the sting of death daily, and that those that we love are impacted by the sting of death, and that one day we too will face the fact that we'll leave this world. But Father, we pray for wisdom, that we will make adequate preparation so that one day we can enjoy that place called heaven that has been reserved for us. We pray for all who are hurting and suffering. We pray for all who've lost loved ones. Brother Phil and others who've felt the sting of death this year, for the Ray family. And Father, though we sorrow, we do so, but we do so in hope. We thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, and for the hope that we have of being with you in heaven one day. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to come to Christ, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to willingly walk away from a life of sin, to enjoy that blessed life, the life that's rooted and grounded in Christ, to have a life of peace and joy. If you're here today and you haven't responded to the invitation, I encourage you to walk away from sin, to be baptized into Christ. Let him wash all your sins away. Let him put you in the church, because the saved are in the church, Ephesians 5, verse 23. And then just be faithful. And one day when you stand before God, when we stand before God, we're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. To hear those words, it'll make it all worthwhile. If you're here today and maybe you need the prayers of the church, could we pray with you and for you as we stand and sing?